Hello, once again, it's 1930 UTC, and you're listening to me change my glasses. Who am I? My name's Tobe, and I'm the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee, the show that you're listening to right now. There's Verla. She said hi, and I waved at her. She's working in the butterfly garden as usual. And that would probably lead you to understand that I'm here at Herrenhaven. I'm walking around the side of the shed, and I see no matis underneath. What are we doing today? Well, this is a dude booking for a day, and I'm kind of under some time constraints today, so this is going to be kind of a speed run, so to speak. As much as I hate to use that phrase. But I'm walking around the dragonfly pond. The water level is extremely low. We need to get some water up in here. We need to get some rains. A couple of good heavy rains would give us some awesome mushrooms. And as soon as it rains, we're going to the dead birch forest, because this is the time of year that the dead birch forest explodes with mushrooms after a heavy rain. So pray for rain, kids. Do a little rain dance. It's not too bad out here today. It is sunny, but it's fairly cool, relatively. It's low 80s. I don't know how long I'm going to last out here. But showbiz. The show must go on. The committee meeting must, you know, continue to commit or do whatever committees do. I still got a little allergy business going on. Woke up sneezing and everything, but everything's starting to clear up now, nose wise. So that's good. Got a minor little cough here, and that's about it. I'm working my way up the path towards the boardwalk, and I can now see back into the sub pond, and guess who's back there in all of his big blue glory? That's right, it's our buddy, Big Bluey. He's even standing on a log. He sees me, he's going, what's going on? And I'm waving at him and I'm saying, nothing's going on, dude. You can keep on looking for yummy fish and give them a chomp. Oh my God, there's a mati on the path. Hi, mati, where did he go? There's a mati on the path out to the boardwalk. He just ran off into the tall grass. Hi, mati. Oh, that was crazy. Certainly wasn't expecting to see a mat right there. Sometimes they get under the boardwalk here, but that's a funny place to see one. All right, I'm on the boardwalk. I'm looking out over the water. There's nothing going on, just lots of duckweed. There's some turtles on the traditional turtle log. Oh, there's a couple of ducks way out there. I'm turning around so as to avoid the sun and go back here over to this funky area to see this, where we can see this mati again. That was really funny. I didn't even see him very well. He saw me. He turned around and he went running off into the grass. And all I saw was a fuzzy marmot butt. I know you're in there, mati. Hiding in the grass. That's good hiding. I can't even see you. Oh, good hidings by matis. That was exciting. So we should be able to see Big Bluey again right about now. Yep, there he is, still standing out on his log looking for yummy fish to eat, and maybe a little frog or maybe a crawdad. I'm not sure what they eat exactly. Fish for certain, probably other stuff, and so that's what they're looking for. That's what herons are looking for. Yummy stuff to eat. Oh. Alright, well, I'm walking over the land bridge now. And I'm looking over into the billabong. And yes, we do have a couple of ducks. I can see one. There must be some more back there. And yes, I see another one. And now I can't see anything because I'm in the tree tunnel, the path that has full canopy. Do 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 do. And we go walk along here, and this is always fun. Earlier I was thinking about something and I don't remember what it was. The worst part of it being is that, oh, I can talk about that and tell all my friends on the radio. And now I don't even remember what I was thinking about. But right now, I'm walking up that short path that leads into the wall blind to see more duckies. Yes, there's lots of ducks back here. We got 3 or 4 or 5 sitting on a log, plus 5 more just swimming around. And we got this one lone wolf guy. There's about a dozen ducks back here. They're having a fun time, and I like to say hi to them. Oh, I just remembered what I was going to talk about. Last night, as you may or may not remember, I went on a night mission. Night mission! And you know how much we love night missions. So if you missed yesterday's show, be sure to tune in to hear what we did on the night mission. Night mission! And so, after the night mission, I was at home and stuff, and I was mixing and mastering the radio show and doing all the, unfun post-production work that it requires. And that takes a while. It takes about an hour and a half, all told. And so I had an hour and a half to kill. So I was watching a little bit of TV, and mostly I was watching Olympic stuff from earlier in the day. But then, at 4 a.m. local time, guess what came on my weird old TV channel? You know, the channel I watched The Man from U.N.C.L.E. on? Guess what came on? Rat Patrol. That's right, Rat Patrol. And I don't know if you've ever seen this show or not, but I haven't. Actually, I've seen one or two episodes now, but up until, about a month ago, I'd never actually seen the show, but I was familiar with it because you can buy models from it, there's toys from it, and there are various pop culture references to it. And so last night it was actually on, what am I hearing? Hold on a second. Is there something over here? Unknown. Okay, so Rat Patrol comes on and I'm watching it, and the guys are tearing through the desert in their jeeps, and I started thinking, this would be good subject matter for a game. Why hasn't anybody made this into a game? I mean, obviously if you wanted to use the name Rat Patrol, you might have to pay some kind of licensing fees. But I've walked up the hill towards the top of the hill just so I could check this little deer path because I thought I saw something, but I did not. All right, so let's go over into the blind. So I was thinking, okay, it would be very simple to make a Rat Patrol game. And when I say game, I do mean like a 3D miniatures fun game. And there's some people in the blind. Why are there people in the blind? Okay, fine. We're just gonna take the loop. See what there's going on in the loop here. I'm on the old loop path, and it's starting to get grown over. Okay, so anyway, yeah, now I can smell the laundry detergent that these people used on their clothes. There's a bunch of people in there. And there was only 2 cars in the parking lot. Oh, well. So anyway, I'm up on the loop. I can see down under the lake. And there's some ducks down there. Oh, but that's about it. Duck, duck, ducks. So I was thinking, okay, so all you really need is, you'll need two models of Jeeps with the big machine guns on them and a whole bunch of jerry cans. This would be fun to model. And I suppose, you know, you wouldn't have to make it exactly, the models. And so then you have one player playing the Rat Patrol, and you can have another player playing, you know, the German armor. Play on your typical desert board. Alright, now I'm looking for, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I'm looking for Scarlet Cups, even though I know there won't be any because it's been so dry. Oh, I hear some geese freaking out. Oh, some goosey conflict. Alright. And that's about when I fell asleep. I was watching Rat Patrol and thinking about Rat Patrol game. And that was about it. Now the funny thing is I got some tanks, I got some armor, so it's not like I'd have to buy a lot of stuff to create this game. All that really I need to do is decide what scale I want to do this game in. If I do the game in my traditional 1/72 scale, or a scale close to it, you know, like HO, I've got plenty of stuff. I've got lots of tanks in that scale. But I don't have any other armor. I don't have any, like, armored cars or anything like that. Which is fine, but I don't know. You know, how much like Rat Patrol do you want it to be? Ooh, what's this? This is some fresh fox poop right in the middle of the trail. Yeah, hi, fox poop. So that means we probably got foxes running around in here. But we knew that already, didn't we, kids? Yes. Yes, we did. Oh, now I got a duck to get under some branches. Oy. Okay, working my way back down the hill to where I was just standing, looking at the old bulldozer cut, or whatever we call this. Interesting, interesting. Looks like there's a path forming here, an animal path. That's got deer and fox written all over it. Now, the one downside to using 1/72 scale is I've only got one Jeep, and it's not the kind of Jeep that I need. So we might have to go to the model store to see if they got any 1/72 scale Jeeps. Those are kind of hard to find, especially in the style and livery that we need them, but you know, something would be better than nothing. A lot of these war models, the more popular scale is 1/35, which is, you know, twice the size of 1/72. But you know, that would be okay if we didn't have any ground scale. And for that matter, I could go out to a thrift store or any dollar store and buy some plastic models that are about that size. You know, your typical green army man, you know what I'm talking about. Those are around 1/35 scale. They're, you know, give or take. But, you know, the good ones are pretty to scale, but if you've got some old mold type of dudes, your dollar store dudes, they will, you know, get out of scale pretty quick. But anyway, we need to find us some Jeeps, paint them up. Thinking of all kinds of rules. You know, you got four guys, you got to give them specialist abilities, each one. You got two drivers, two gunners, and you got to give them some kind of melee combat rating. Some guys are going to be better than others. You got to have a guy who's like, you know, the automotive wizard. So you can have flat tire rules, you know, Jeeps get their tires shot out, boom, the guy can change the tire real fast, and they're back on rat patrol. Now, I've also been thinking that what would be really fun is to play this at a really small scale, like 1/300th scale. And I've got lots of tanks in that scale, like 50, but I've got no other support stuff. And although I could buy some Jeeps, you know, a Jeep at that scale is very small. It's less than a centimeter long and less than, you know, 5 millimeters wide. And they look cool. Oh, here's a ducky on the... Hi! Oh, he doesn't like me. He says, I'm getting out of here. These, you know, make for... When the scale gets too small, then, I don't know, you sort of lose something. The upside to a very small scale is that, one, it's cheaper. Because, you know, a Jeep that size only costs about $1. But, you know, you lose detail. And they're kind of hard to pick up because they're so small and move around. And so you end up having to put stuff on bases, which kind of takes away from the overall gestalt of the piece. And, what else? Yeah, but the benefits are your table, your battlefield is now twice as big, so you can have more dudes moving around if you're so inclined, and you can do more stuff, and you can model more stuff, and getting things like buildings, although it's hard to build a model building in that scale, you can buy them relatively cheaply, you know, between $3 and $7, which, I mean, it's kind of expensive for a single building, but, you know, they're real nice, relatively highly detailed. These are usually cast from resin. You got a lot to choose from, and there's a lot of North African 1/300th scale models out there. Of course, I don't have the money to buy this stuff. And I would probably just make some buildings out of little wooden blocks and paint them up, like I've been known to do. And that might be fun. That's the upside to smaller scales. It is a little bit cheaper. You know, to, as an example, to play this game in 1/72nd scale, you know, your typical model is $15. You know, a tank is $15 or $20. And there's ways around this if you know how to get through life cheaply. That's one thing I do know. I'm a cheap bastard. I'm not cheap. I'm just poor. Either way, I gotta think of something. Either way, I'd have to spend some money to make this game because I don't quite have all of the stuff I need. One of these days when I hit the lottery and or somehow get super rich. There's this company I like that makes small, you know, 1/275th and 1/300th scale war models. Someday I'm just going to buy one or two of every single thing they have. This is a great company. They have this one special tank deal. You can get 10 of 5 different kinds of tanks for a total of 50 tanks for something like $25. Might be less. Cash discounts and all that, but I'm up at the Bocage now, looking over the Bocage, looking for Matis and mushrooms. I think they're in Minnesota. The business is called PFC CNC. And I'm not even going to try to make any sense of that, but if you need to know it, just email me. And, oh, they got some beautiful, beautiful models. Really, really nice. Very worth the money. They're in competition with a company called GHQ. And GHQ makes some really nice stuff, and it's sort of the industry standard. It's a little pricey, and it's pretty good. But I honestly feel like the PFC CNC stuff is not only a little bit cheaper, well, significantly so, some of the models are actually better. The difference is GHQ seems to have a slightly larger line. But if you don't need, you know, the full and complete, entirely historically accurate Africa core, well then, you know, PFC CNC is for you. And it is for me. I love their stuff. I just wish I could buy more of it. When I'm boat rich and I have my giant mansion and everything, I will have more than one war room. I'll probably have a war floor, a floor on my house that is only for playing my war games. And that's when I'll have an entire room dedicated just to the North African theater in World War II. Alright, I'm back at the picnic table, sort of scanning the ground for Earth stars. I don't see any. I'm walking behind the kiosk on this little loop path that makes no sense. I'm not super clear why any Boy Scouts thought we needed to have this, but no, this became some Boy Scout project, and now we have this path that doesn't get used because it doesn't go anywhere. And the useless little footbridge here again, because it does not go anywhere, it does not get used. It's entirely decorative, but I'm standing on top of it anyway, looking down into these weeds, looking for moths, looking into the butterfly garden, and I don't see much of anything. All right. That's cool. On the other hand, I was in Walgreens the other day and I saw a package of Army Men for $4, came with two tanks and a whole bunch of other stuff, and I was like, geez. There's, if you had an entire room, or if you wanted to play outside, you could just get some of this plastic stuff. Sure, it's not so great, it's kind of junky, and if you get some, and if you can find some of the old ones that were cast in the 60s, they're awesome, but you can't because people like me are snapping them up in thrift stores left and right, but I digress. You could play these games in larger scales, especially if you wanted to play, like, outside. So if you wanted to play Rat Patrol in your backyard, you could just use these plastic tanks and jeeps and army men and stuff. And yeah, it would look a little cheesy, but the truth of the matter is, with a little time and a couple dollars worth of paint, you can really dress up some army men. And you can do it fast, too. And you know, I do know some people who like to paint those old plastic army men in their all their horrible detail and all that. And they'll spend 2-3 hours painting a single guy. And yeah, when they're done painting an entire army, it looks, you know, really damn impressive. Well, as impressive as something with such low detail can be. Now, I myself, when it comes to painting plastic, I believe in speed painting. I don't go for the detail, I just go for the broad strokes. Because the smaller a miniature is, the further away it is going to be from your eye when it's sitting on the table. So you don't have to paint it too good, because you're not going to be able to see any of the detail that's not there anyway. Just paint them, get the point across, and move on. One thing I've noticed in wargaming is that don't leave your stuff unpainted. Poorly painted stuff on a nice table, meaning with good terrain, looks better than really well-painted miniatures on, you know, an ugly battlefield. So, don't do it. Take my advice. If you want to play these games, learn to speed paint. I'm perfectly willing to teach you. It's not difficult. You can paint your entire force in less than an afternoon. Then spend your time working on your terrain. You know, build good houses. Build your houses and all of your buildings and stuff to the same level of detail as your plastic army men. Don't have them be too much more detailed, because then then all the army men look out of place. You won't be able to tell what it is. You'll be thinking, oh, what's wrong with this picture? It's a matter of level of detail. All right, I'm standing over a Mati hole, the culvert by the gate. And there's a lot of bugs flying in and out of there. There's probably a Mati right there. Stick your nose out, Mati. I want to say hi. Okay, so let's go look at the other end of the culvert. Uh-oh, a whole van load of children just showed up. I can hear them, and I'm 50 yards away. They're screaming and shouting. Matis! Where's my Mati? Oh, I know there's a Mati in this little tube. But I don't think he's going to come out with me standing here talking to you guys about how to model World War II vehicles in plastic the cheap way. I should write a book, you know, Wargaming on a Budget. You know, I don't know if you know anything about this little sport we play, but man, if you want to play a game like Warhammer and you want to play it at the top level, and I don't even mean top level competition-wise, I mean, you know, with the largest force, you're going to spend an easy $500 just to field a team, just to have the dudes. And that cost does sort of include some paint and a whole bunch of other stuff. And that $500 doesn't even get you an interesting table to play on. That's just for the miniatures that you get to move around. You will also have to buy a $40 rule book and spend some money on some dice. Okay, I've managed to make it back into my car. What are we doing? Where are we going? I think we're gonna go home. I need to get ready to do some other stuff, so let's finish off the rest of this show back in the studio in 3 seconds. 3, 2, 1, 0. And we're back. Here we are sitting in the studio with the window open. They must have mowed the lawn while I was gone because I could smell freshly mown grass and, you know, two-stroke engine gasoline. Two smells that I don't know if I like them or not. And they may or may not affect my sinuses. So, we've had a pretty good day today. We did see a Mott butt. We saw the fuzzy Motty butt scurrying off into the grass, and we saw Big Bluey. So we've had a pretty good day. And you've heard most of my thoughts on a Rat Patrol game. Except the one thing I don't like about Rat Patrol the show is that, you know, you can have a Panzer III rolling over the dunes, and then the good guys, the Rat Patrol, they aim one 50 caliber machine gun at it, get off a burst of about 6 rounds, and somehow the tank magically blows up. I don't know how much historical accuracy I'm going to have in my game, but I have a feeling I'm going to have to let it go if I want to really capture the feeling of the show, which is, oh, a bunch of guys driving around in Jeeps can defeat the entire German army in North Africa. Unrealistic? Yes. Fun to play? Probably. I'll keep working on it. I think I'm going to take some notes and do some research myself on the computer. You've been listening to another exciting episode of the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every single day right here on Anon Radio at 1930 UTC. Be sure to stay tuned for the sound show, genre mix, and discussion with our very own MJT. My name's Tobe, and I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.